Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Napanee First Brethren Church. Great and an honor, privilege to be here today and speak out of God's Word. And I feel led to preach this message this morning. It's called Seek. If you look up in the dictionary, seek is defined as looking for, searching for, trying to find. It's a quest to pursue something, to hunt for something. That's the definition of seek. In life, we are all seeking something. And some of us not seeking the right things. But you know, we're all seeking something. And some people are seeking a good paying job, to have their own business, have an education, a house, a car, the latest and greatest phones, the latest and greatest apps and games. And the bigger, the better TV. I've seen them 90 inches now for sale. They keep growing. When I was a little kid, I remember the TV screen was this big, black and white. The case was humongous. Nobody'd steal your TV because they'd need a big U-Haul just to get it in there. But things have changed. And, you know, a hunter is always hunting for the biggest buck, the biggest bear, the biggest moose, the biggest elk. A fisherman's hunting for the trying to catch the biggest bass, the biggest pike, the biggest muskie, or the biggest marlin, depends where you're fishing. And maybe you're just seeking to have a friend, or maybe you're seeking someone to marry. You're searching for that right person. Then there's a lot of people out there seeking popularity, power, fame. They want to be a sports car, a sports star, or a movie star, or a famous singer. Everybody's seeking something. But you know, we're all looking down deep for happiness, purpose in life, and someone that cares about us and would love us, and we can love them back. And Jesus talks about what we should be seeking. And it's in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 31 to 33. And when Jesus speaks, there's a reason for this. There's a lot of wisdom in what Jesus says, because he loves us, he cares about us. And here's what he says: take no thought for what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you should wear. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's he say to seek first? The kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart to be your Lord and your Savior, you become saved, a child of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And it says, and his righteousness. How do you seek his righteousness? What is it? It's being more Christ-like every day. And his righteousness. You know, there's some people who get saved, and I call them stillborn. They get saved, but there's really no growth, no fruit. They never mature in the Lord. They're not in the Word of God. They're not praying. They're not getting closer to God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then we can get into Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. More wisdom. Lay not for yourselves treasures on earth, where neither moths or do corrupt or thieves break through and steal. But lay yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths or rust do corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, what is your treasure? I define treasure as three things: your time, your talents, and your finances. That's your treasure. Where you're building them treasures, on earth, are they in heaven? And I can tell what your priorities in life are by looking at them things. Where you spend your time, where you spend your money and your talents. That'll tell me right where you stand. And like I say, the Word of God has a lot of wisdom in it. And these verses I just quoted, I'm going to prove why they're important. Why our treasure shouldn't be here on earth. I don't know if you ever heard of the curse of 27. Have anybody heard of the curse of 27? The club of 27? Well, it's all these Hollywood people and musicians that died at the age of 27. 27 years old. And you know, a lot of the young people especially, they're always looking to the Hollywood stars and musicians. They want to be like them. They want to be rich. They want to be famous. They want to be like them. That's their goal in life. And Jesus says, don't. And here's what happens. The curse of 27. All these people that were searching for the things that the world wants. And this is what happened. Jimi Hendrix died at 27, drug overdoses. Janis Joplin, heroin overdose. Jimmy Morrison, heroin overdose. Amy Winehouse, alcohol and drugs. Brian Jones, alcohol and drugs. Jonathan Bratis, suicide. He hung himself. Kurt Cobain, suicide, shot himself. Mac Miller, drug overdoses. In my research, there's like up to 60 people that's on this list that died, that were famous, that were searching for happiness in all the wrong places. Then there's a lot of celebrities that died of drug, alcohol, and suicide, but they weren't 27 years old when it happened. Here's some, if you've seen them walk down the road, you'd say, wow, look at there. Look, can I have their autograph? They're that popular, but they died searching for the wrong things. Chris Farley, 33 years old, cocaine overdose. John Belushi, 33, cocaine overdose. Freddie Prinze, 22 years old, drug addictions, suicide, he shot himself. Anna Nicole Smith, 39, drug overdose. Elvis Presley, 42, heart failure due to drug overdose. Whitney Houston, 48, cocaine and other drugs. Robin Williams, we all remember Robin Williams. He made us laugh. He made us smile. But you know, the man himself was crying inside. We didn't know that. And he committed suicide at the age of 63. He hung himself. How sad. Judy Garland, 47, overdose. Keith Ledger, 28, overdose. River Phoenix, 23, overdose. And these are the people the world says had it all, but they didn't. But there's a lot of lonely and depressed, empty people out there with no hope. They're hurting. And we have some more wisdom from the Word of God in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Start with verse 6. This is what the Word says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and certainly we can take nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us there be content. The Bible says, be content with what you have. You know, we're so blessed in this country. You go to other countries, they have nothing. My buddy Angelo went to Africa, and these people live in little huts, dirt floors, no electric, little tin roof. They have nothing. And the kids would go to school, and they had one thing they had to do to go to school, they had to carry a stick. And you wonder why? These kids had to carry a stick to school. They put all the sticks together to cook a big pot of stew so they could eat lunch. And Angelo said they were smiling. And they were singing, I have the whole world in my hand. They have Jesus. They were happy. They were content. But it also says, but they that will be rich fall in temptation and a snare. What's a snare? It's a trap. It's a trap. But they that will be rich fall in temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men to destruction and damnation. That's what happened to a lot of these Hollywood people, wasn't it? It led them into hurtful lust and drowned men into destruction and damnation. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Did it say money was evil? No. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some had coveted after, that's what they were seeking. They were obsessed with. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The curse of 27, many sorrows. But, O man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to eternal life. That's the wisdom of the Word of God, and it's also the warning from the Word of God. We also have the Ten Commandments. They aren't the Ten Suggestions. Suicide is the biggest killer of people under the age of 35 and the biggest killer of men under the age of 50. Suicide is the third leading cause of death in the United States of people ages 10 to 24. 10 to 24. Kids. Just starting life. Antidepressants are the largest sellers in the pharmaceutical market, over $6 billion in the U.S. We have more fun things to do in this country than we ever had to do, and we have more depressed people than we ever had. Some top words looked up on Google late at night is porn, loneliness, and suicide. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he careth for thee. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus wants the best for us. And Jesus tells a story of a young man which goes the way of Hollywood with the wild lifestyle of wine, women, and immoral living. Jesus tells a story about the prodigal son. And in Luke chapter 15, verses 11, it starts. And he tells this story to teach us wisdom in this story. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall upon me. Give me. That's very disrespectful. He went part of his cut of the inheritance now while his dad's still alive. Give me. He violated one of the Ten Commandments, number 5. Honor thy father and mother. And it says, and he divided it unto his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. He took a journey to a far country. Why'd he go to a far country? He didn't want people he knows to find out what he was doing with this money. He went to a place like Las Vegas. They say what you do in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. So that's a good reason he went to the far off country. And it says, he spent his, wasted his money on riotous living, on immoral living. And when he had spent it all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he was beginning to need. He was poor. You know, he didn't have nothing. When he had all the money, he had all the friends. I have guys tell me, I got tons of friends. I buy a keg or a beer, we party. I got tons of friends. But you know what happens? Once the beer's gone, the friends are gone. And they got a hangover the next day. Party hardy, it isn't that great. I'm telling you, it isn't that great. I've seen people doing it. And it says he was in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country. And they sent him out into the fields to feed the swine. Here's a young Jewish man sent out to feed the swine, the pigs. And the Jewish people have nothing to do with pigs and swine. It's unclean. It's unbiblical in their culture. And here he is, as low as can be, wallowing around with the hogs. And he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He didn't have any food. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And here I'm perishing with hunger. You know, sometimes you got to get as low as you can get before you start looking up and before you start examining your life. And I've been to the jail for 30 years. I've pretty much seen it all. And most guys come to Christ when they tried everything else that the world says is happiness, and they're as low as they can be. And then they start looking up and examining their life. And I've seen men that you thought would never amount to anything, but I've seen them come to Christ. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all. How much? All things are become new through Jesus Christ. That's our hope. It's our only hope. So he was hungry. And he says, I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called a son. He's repenting. He's humbling himself. No longer worthy to be called thy son. And make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, how the Heavenly Father's like that. We stray away, done things we shouldn't do, but he's there for us. And in this story here, the father was a man of means. He was rich. He had servants. And in most cases, a rich man of means isn't out running. They stand proud and they walk. They don't run. But the father ran. He humbled himself and came to his son. He didn't care. And he kissed him. And it said, son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let's be happy. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. What a story. Wow. Oh, how God wants us to come to Him like the prodigal son did. But so many times we rebel and don't want to have anything to do with God. We want to be our own man, do our own thing. There's another story with a lot of wisdom in it. And it's the exact opposite type of story than the prodigal son. It's about a story of a guy named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was the opposite of the prodigal son in many ways. Zacchaeus was an older man. Zacchaeus was chief tax collector. So he had what you'd call the fame, he had the power, he had authority, and he had a lot of money. And here's what it says about this. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the tax collectors. And he sought to see Jesus. And he could not because of the big crowd and because he was of little stature. He was a short guy. But he was a rich guy, and here's what goes on. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree. Now, can you imagine a rich man of means running and climbing a tree? That's what a kid does. This guy humbled himself. He didn't care what all the people thought. People would probably think, look, Zacchaeus, what's going on with him? He's up in a tree. And climbed a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he said unto Zacchaeus, come down. He says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide in your house. And here's another thing you can glean out of this. Jesus is just passing through Jericho. He doesn't live there. But he seen Zacchaeus, and he knew him by name, called him by name. The Lord knows each and every one of us as an individual. Isn't that something? And he numbers the hairs on our head. He doesn't have as much work to do here as some others, yeah. But he says, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And he was in a hurry. He came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the crowd murmured and said, why is he going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner? They all wonder, why is Jesus going to spend time with this tax collector? But you know what Jesus said also? Not in this verse. But Jesus said, ones that are sick need the doctor. You know, we need to be out in the world. Sometimes in churches, you end up have a tendency to be cliques. I've seen it. And we need to be not just only with our Christian brothers, which, you know, that's super, that's nice, but we need to go out in the world. There's a lot of people that need Jesus Christ. And how are they going to hear if we're not out there telling them? We need to go. The Bible says go into all the world, preach the gospel. And some people say, well, my gift isn't evangelism or whatever, but Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We're without excuse. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's why we're this fish here, fisher of men. And it's also the biggest fish I ever caught, and I had a mountain. You believe that? So whatever. But we need to be fishers of men. So the crowd is murmuring. Why is he going to be with this sinner? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I have given to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you catch that? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what Jesus, he's seeking us. He cares about us. He is seeking us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, but God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all, how many?
All.
Should come to repentance. And here's shows a little taste of how Jesus loves us. This is in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. And Jesus is overlooking Jerusalem, the city there. And his heart's poured out, and he says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stones them which are sent unto you, and how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. You would not come to me.
I could see him just in anguish, but you would not. You would not come to me. You ever see a chicken with her little chicks walking around through the barnyard? If a hawk or danger comes, the little chicks run underneath the wings, and the hen will guard them chicks with her life. And Jesus is comparing that to him wanting us to come under his wings of safety, because he loves us, he cares about us, he died for us.
In Psalms chapter 10, verse 4, it says, the wicked, through their pride of life, will not seek after God. You know, Jesus died openly for us. We need to humble ourselves and come to him. The word pride, the middle letter in the word pride is I. Sometimes we get too much of ourselves. We need to humble ourselves to Jesus Christ. And you know, there's also someone else seeking after you, even today, right now. It's the devil. He's seeking us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. It's not a good word. Devour. Devour us. And Satan knows, the devil knows all our weak spots. Every one of us have a weak spot. And he'll dangle that in front of you, tempt you. If I had a dog up here and I had myself a pork chop, I bet I could get that dog to do about anything I want him to do. And that's kind of what Satan tries to do with us. He'll dangle that bait in front of us and try to tempt us and see if we go for the bait. But the Bible says we need to put on the full armor of God so we can withstand the fiery darts of Satan. I ask you today, what are you seeking? Are you seeking the world? Or are you seeking Jesus Christ? Are you living for the dot or the line? I'll explain that. The dot. I'm 70 years old. And over the years, I my worldly things, it just keeps growing. I keep getting stuff. It keeps growing. And a lot of people are just living for the dot. And when they die, all that they got, it's gone. Everything you worked for, everything you thought was important, totally gone. Or are you living for the line? The line is when you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, the line starts. And the line goes forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Are you living for the dot or the line? When you accept Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and your Savior, are you living for Him? The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moths or rust do corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And I ask you as a Christian today, what's in your spiritual bank account? We all have the physical bank accounts as just people. But as a Christian here today, what is in your spiritual bank account? Is it about bankrupt or is it overflowing? If it's about bankrupt, why? He died for you. You need to live for Him. You need to study the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, and you need to be out into the world telling people about Jesus. It's like this bottle here. If I have a big pitcher right here, and it's almost full, then I start pouring this water in there, and it keeps pouring. What's going to happen to that pitcher of water? It's going to overflow, isn't it? And that's what we need to be doing. Overflow with the Holy Spirit. So when we overflow, it goes all around us. People should see Jesus in our lives. Talk's cheap. It's a walk that counts. I've seen a lot of people say they're Christians. They sure aren't living it. And they're not drawing people to Him. The Bible says either you're for me or against me. Either you're drawing people to me or turning them away. There's no middle of the road. And the same with salvation. Either you're for me or against me. There's no middle of the road. Either you're saved or you're not. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, seek those things which are above and not on earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, for what you see is temporal, but what is not seen is eternal. So what it's saying here, what you see today with your eyes is temporary. Everything's temporary. These pews, someday they may be firewood. You just don't know. The ceiling, cave in. This body of mine, look at it. It's already falling apart. Lost a hair. I'm wearing glasses. I'm wearing hearing aids. I don't know how many days I got to live. I'm 70 now. I don't know. I may die today. My grandma lived to be 108. And she loved the Lord Jesus Christ the day she died. Never used a walker or a cane. She had her original teeth. I don't know. And she loved Jesus. She loved Jesus Christ and she was a witness. But everything you see here is temporary. The things you don't see is eternal. That's your soul. That's your soul. And you know, my soul is inside this fleshly body. It's going to deteriorate. It's a temporary holding place for my soul. And someday I'm going to die. And I'm going to heaven. And it's not because I'm good, I'm kind, I'm none of those things. But I asked Jesus Christ in my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. And He took away the sins. I ask you today, where are you going to spend eternity? That's the question I'm asking each and every one of you. Where are you going to spend eternity, in heaven or hell? And if you're here today and you say, well, Gary, I'm not really sure. I really don't know whether I'd make it to heaven or not. I'm going to tell you straight out. Chances are you're on your way to hell. Because you have to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And if you ask Christ in your heart to be your Lord and Savior, you know it. You know, I know I'm married today. We made a vow about 49 years ago. I know for a fact we're married. Well, you should know for a fact that you're saved. And here's what the Word of God says in 1 John 5:13. Isn't what I'm just saying, this is what the Word says. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. Shouldn't be a question mark there. And we're going to give an altar call in a few minutes. If you're questioning your salvation, today's the day to come up when we do that. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you struggling in life? Do you need rest for your soul? We need Jesus Christ. Luke 19, verse 10. This is again that verse. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you lost today? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." If you think you can work your way to heaven, you're deceived. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8 says this, "But God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you have to do to receive a gift? Nothing. Same with salvation. If the Lord's tugging on your heart and we give an altar call, come and receive that free gift. Here's another verse, Romans 10:9. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." John 3:3, Jesus is talking here, and he says, "Verily, verily." And when he says, "Verily, verily," that means, listen, this is important. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, but by me." John 3:16 through 18. Most of you know John 3:16, but you may not know it through 18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world may be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Condemned already. Condemned already. Joshua said, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Jesus fills the void in our life that we try to fill with earthly things. You could take your body as a puzzle. And there's a piece of that puzzle that only Jesus can fill that spot. The only thing that fits. And it's in the shape of a cross. And it fits just perfectly. And we try to fill it with all these earthly things, and it don't fit that spot. If you are not a Christian here today, this is your heaven right now. This is your heaven. This is the best it'll ever be. Because what's waiting for you is hell. If you're a Christian here today, this is the worst it's ever going to be, right here. This is it. Because when we die, we're going to heaven for the line, forever and ever and ever, all eternity. What can I say? And this is our comfort as Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. "Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That's what we have forward. We can't comprehend heaven. Cannot. And you know, we can't comprehend hell either. If everybody knew how bad hell was, they'd be reading that Bible a little more, getting right with him. And we as Christians, if we really knew how bad hell was, we'd probably be witnessing a little harder to our loved ones. We're going to give an altar call here in just a minute or two. Where do you stand with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said in Revelations 3:20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's the door of your heart. "If any man hear my voice and open that door, I will come into him." Is he tugging? Is he tugging today? And there's a word of warning too. The more you reject the Holy Spirit's calling, the Bible says your heart can become harder and harder. And the impact the Holy Spirit has today may not be as loud next time. The Bible says, "For today is the day of salvation." Maybe you've been coming to this church for 30 years. I don't know but a few of you here. Maybe you've been coming here 30 years and you put on a big front that you're a Christian. Everybody thinks you're a Christian. But down deep, you know you never made it right with Jesus Christ. Maybe the Lord's tugging on you today for an opportunity to come forward and get right with him. And you know, right here when we give an altar call is when pride really kicks in. What will people think? I remember at the jail one night, I gave an altar call. And this guy comes forward and accepts Jesus Christ. He says, "You know, there was a lot of people there." He said, "It was kind of rough. I was thinking, well, what will people think if I come forward?" And then he got thinking, "You know, I don't care. I'm going forward." And when he started to get up, the guy next to him grabbed him and said, "Sit down." But you know, he came up anyways. Satan had his last tug. He's going to tug on you. He's going to try to keep you down there. And here's a verse, if you're pondering whether it come up or not. Listen to this one. It's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. This is what Jesus says. "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven." Powerful words. That's from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I got these little tracks called "Knowing God Personally." And if the Lord's tugging on your heart today, you come forward and I'll share with you in this little track how you can come to Christ today. And we'll say the sinner's prayer and you can be as sure as heaven if you're already there. So, Nancy, you want to come forward? And we got a song that I wanted to have them play today, and they're actually playing it. I like that. The Savior is waiting. The Savior is waiting for you to come forward. And in that song says, so many times, I don't know if you have any words up here, "The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has called you before, and now he's... Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again. To see if you're willing to open that door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If you take the first step towards the Savior, my friend, you'll find his door open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he's waiting again. See if you're willing to open that door. Oh, how He wants to come in. So as this song plays, it's time to do business with Jesus Christ today. Don't put it off. Don't wait. This song isn't that long either, so if the Lord's tugging, you better come up here. So if the Lord's tugging, come on up.
Let's stand together.
In prayer?
Sure will.
Okay. Let's all bow in a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for the reminder of the word of God that you are waiting for us, that you are waiting for each one. Lord, the theme of repentance is coming across this world. It's coming across this nation. We're part of the mission and we're part of the calling. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Gary, and I ask your blessing on him and the ministry. But Lord, even more, I ask for your anointing on each of our hearts to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because the day of your return is closer than ever.
Yes.
And at that moment, time ends. So Lord, we thank you, and we ask for you to bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with a world in desperate need. And all God's people said, amen.